I believe we are operational. Greg?
It is Jack giving me a time while I'm looking for my clock. Can I go?
Yes.
Okay. It's 5 minutes after 7 on the 4th of March, 2008. The Mount Pleasant Advisory Neighborhood Commission, ANC 1D, present is a quorum consisting of Secretary Jack McKay, Dave Bosserman, Oliver Tunda, and myself, Greg Edwards, Vice Chair, and in the absence of Stormy Scott, our Chair, acting as Chair. The first item on the agenda is our 20 minutes time for public discussion. And as perhaps people have heard, we ask that it be for 3 minutes. Unless you are bringing a certified statement from an established organization. I'd like to note that at 7 minutes after, Jane Zara, our secretary, has arrived.
Treasurer,
sorry. Machen für alles. Somebody who does everything that needs to be done. Okay. Would you, so we start off passing the baton, please introduce yourself, and I believe you will be, after introducing yourself, I believe we will vote to give you extra time, but I suggest after other people have had a chance, and that way you can also hear a little more of what's going on.
Tariq Bolden, Ward 1. Planner from the Office of Planning.
Well, you get 3 minutes.
Oh, 3 minutes, yeah. Hi,
This is your chance, by all means. Go ahead.
Thank you. Hi, Paul Weatherly. I live on Hobart Street, 1748, down over here. And for about 3 months, I've been corresponding with Mr. Graham's office about the problems of the taking of one lane of Irving Street between 14th and 15th by the new shopping center where Target is.
Paul, mm-hmm. Let me suggest that you address us.
Oh, we're the ones with the votes.
Thank you.
Okay.
The idea is you're bringing an issue for us to deal with.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, fine. I don't know whether you can deal with it or not. I was actually trying to get support from the people in the neighborhood because I think what we need to do is to have a petition drive or some sort of demonstration, because I think this is an outrageous taking of public space by a private corporation. There were 3 lanes in that block, the entire block, and the loss of one lane is going to create an incredible bottleneck for the simple reason that, in traffic terms, there's something called side friction. The curb lane is always slower than a non-curb lane. So 3 lanes on Irving Street, the middle lane was always the fastest way. Now there is no middle lane in that block. So two things. One is side friction, which is to say people stopping along the left-hand side to discharge passengers, people stopping on the right-hand side to discharge or pick up passengers around the metro station. Secondly, the buses. So there will be side friction aplenty on those 2 lanes and no passing lane. Therefore, there will be a bottleneck at virtually all hours of the day, especially when the metro is open. The second problem is going to be the turning. At the end, there is a turn lane. It comes back to 3 lanes at 14th Street. There's a turn lane for about 3 cars. If you have more than 3 cars, the people turning left will back up into the left-hand lane. Therefore, pedestrians crossing, and there will be lots of pedestrians at that intersection for the metro and the shopping center, will block the turners left and right, creating more pressure on those 2 lanes. I suggest that the sidewalk be reduced to what it was before the shopping center was there, 3 lanes be put in so there is a clear lane going straight through that intersection. What I intend to do, and I'm asking for support from the public here because I don't think the politicians have an interest in dealing with this problem, is I like to leaflet people who are backed up in that intersection during rush hours, give them a piece of paper and suggesting things that they can do to take their own personal action, to write their city councilman, to write the mayor's office, to write the D.C. government, and to ask for the removal of that sidewalk and the restoration of the original three lanes. Thank you.
Since I see a lot of the commission nodding, maybe we should break expectations. We would require four votes, suspend the rules, and have an immediate resolution drawing this to the attention of DDOT. So I guess we don't have four votes.
I think it's premature. I think we should go ahead with public discussion. I would happily comment on what Paul has to say. Namely, I think we should bring this up with ANC1A in Columbia Heights, because I'm sure they're going through the same issue. I mean, it's not in our jurisdiction, though we certainly have an interest in it. But the road itself is in 1A, and they meet on the second Wednesday of every month at Tubman Elementary.
Jane.
I have a few things to say and a few questions. Are you in our ANC? Are you in our?
Over our street, 79.
By the way,
okay, and you're a citizen. You're not. I thought you
27
said
years, same house. Yeah.
No, I'm not questioning that. You're not. I thought you said something about DDOT, but you don't represent those. Okay. There's a resolution that was passed here, specifically addressing public property and that stewardship, and so that can also be cited. I mean, I don't know, besides flyering, what you want to do, if you want
to... I want to get the lane restored to traffic, and I think until that happens, we're going to have a bottleneck. I mean, there's some stopgap measures. You can allow a left turn from 16th onto Harvard, but that's going to cause its own problems. There's no way out of Mount Pleasant going east except Hobart, except Durgan Street.
Yeah, I mean
it's a real issue.
Yeah, I can talk to you outside of the ANC about strategies that can be taken. I'm not saying that that's a tacit endorsement of this by the ANC.
Yeah.
I just have some experience in the statute that's being violated. So,
good.
I can
Dave,
give you my number.
Hello.
Want to say anything, Oliver?
I think what the gentleman has said here, I have seen it myself while passing along 14th Street. We can see the congestion there, and you know the road has been really reduced to is really very narrow. In which, if something can be done, it should be done to open the road as it used to be before.
My comment is that. 3 years ago, I met with Carolyn Pollack, the chief traffic planner, and we knew then that what the problem was going to be. And she said that it is insane that we have a substantial crosstown arterial with rising amounts of traffic, which is Irving Street. We have a 30-foot residential-wide street. We have a metro stop, and thus, by policy, a huge conjunction with buses. We have a 1,200-car garage. We have a school, a specialty school that is slated to have pickup and deliveries from the whole Washington area. And it's all in one place. This does not commute, much less compute. So the alternative that was discussed at that meeting with Callistus Nwadiki, Ward 1 planner, and Mike Jellin, the traffic engineer for Ward 1, was seeing if we could divide and conquer and perhaps even move some of the crosstown traffic over to Harvard Street, which is also has the possibility of a crosstown arterial, and that way divide and conquer. Otherwise, we don't see any other way to do this within that is politically feasible. There are some other ideas like that where we could look for workarounds to try to reduce the congestion there. This ANC has asked that this alternative be considered by the traffic study people, and it's currently under discussion. Just a little information. Now we pass on to the next.
Three years, and they haven't done anything?
Well, we were able to get, 3 years ago, we also passed a resolution asking for a traffic study, and we got that $400,000. Unfortunately, my opinion is that it is a waste of money. Would you like to speak? No, to any issue. Your 3 minutes is here.
No, I brought up some matters last time.
Okay. David, do you want to report anything from your office, David?
Well, as a quick announcement, when I was leaving the Wilson building to come here, the council member was introducing and asking for support for legislation to create a pilot program of new parking and traffic management techniques that would have three areas where DDOT would be empowered to try new techniques to reduce congestion and improve flow through, with the area around DC USA as one of those three target zones. The other two are in Adams Morgan and around the baseball stadium.
Yeah.
So hopefully we will be able to convince DDOT to try something new and innovative there.
Good.
Greg, I wanted to tell the gentleman who passed up the microphone,
sure,
that might be his only chance to say something about his issue tonight.
I don't know which one you're speaking to. Why don't you call him by name? Or what?
The point is, he brought us the CD with the issues last time. Am I not correct? You left us a CD with your issues, yeah, like the gate and the alley. So he's here basically as a,
if
to
you
hear
wish,
anything
this,
has changed.
If you don't say anything, it probably will not be. We have a full agenda, and probably it will be passed by. Okay.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Jack Chapman, and I work for DDOT in the Urban Forestry Administration, and Liz is a colleague of mine, and we just wanted to come and introduce ourselves. I just started working for the Urban Forestry Administration about 4 months ago, and I'm the urban forester for Wards 1 and 2, and please feel free to ask any questions. We perform routine tree inspections. We plant trees, we coin trees for removal, and we also respond to storm events. And we're also starting to try to control fruit production of our female ginkgo trees in town. The trees will be fine, but the fruit will disappear. Well, feel free to call or email me with any more questions about that.
Would you leave us your card?
I would love to, but I don't have a card yet. I'm that new. But I do have an email address, if anyone is interested.
You can send it to us at...
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's one of the other things. But you have questions?
Oh, yes, if I may speak.
First, Jack. Jane.
There is a statute on the books, from what I understand, that a tree has to be marked before it's cut down for a week with a poster. I want to know if y'all are enforcing that. And it seems to be that in alleys or when things are being repaved, that isn't being adhered to and trees are being cut down. And so we're wondering if there's sort of a net decrease or if there's a tree program to keep D.C. forested.
Well, there is. I'm very new, so I'm some of the terminology and actual statutes or paperwork that we have in place, I'm not totally familiar with yet. But our primary goal is to keep DC as forested as possible. As far as your question about marking trees a week prior to them being cut, I'm not aware of anything like that. Usually, we know if a tree is going to be cut down. We know a tree is going to be cut down for much longer than a week just because of the amount of work that we have to do. Typically, if a tree is going to be cut, we mark it with an orange dot at about maybe 5 or 6 feet high off of the ground. And if a tree is going to be removed and it's going to get in the way of traffic or cars, then we post no parking signs. But we never really post any signs directly on the tree. But we are going to... start, and we have in the past, but we're going to continue passing out notes more consistently to the people on the block when we are going to be removing a tree.
Dave.
Can I just respond to that? I guess it was more in relation to if a tree is, if the neighborhood wants the tree to stay. I'm not saying that it's a nuisance or a danger or anything. If there's, you know, if you just cut trees down, if you're going to pave something, because we've heard that in alleys, big elms are being cut down for the paving. That's what I'm
sure
asking about, more so than danger to people around.
Yeah, I'm not aware of excessive cutting happening right now. Typically, we would make a decision to remove something if a development project is mandatory, or if the tree is hazardous or dead. Those are usually the only times we'd cut down a tree. And if it's an elm, we really try to stay away from cutting those. Now, we don't have as much control over trees on private property. If the tree is over, I think, is it 55 inches, even a private property owner with that tree on their land has to apply for a permit that's approved by us in our administration. And we're pretty strict about what can be removed or not. And so, but again, if you have any concerns, or if you hear of something coming up or something that may be currently happening, I'd be happy to go and look at it personally to see if it maybe somebody's breaking the law or doing this illegally.
That's 55 inches in circumference or in
diameter?
In.
Oh, I'm sorry. Circumference, I'm sorry. You're right.
And then I just want to note that, well, I have some brochures to give to you all, and also have a map of the newly planted trees in the neighborhood so that you know the approximate addresses of where the newly planted trees have been planted, and then the species of those trees. So I'll hand that to you.
Does that include the Casey tree trees?
I don't believe that does. I think it's just the ones that are on the street tree.
No, the street trees, the Casey tree plants, are very active in this
area.
Then
I think, yes, if they're the elms that were planted by Casey trees, yes, because Casey and UFA are in partnership right now to do a watering bag distribution to the newly planted trees in the city.
I'd like to talk to you later. I work for Casey trees.
Yes, I know you do. It's good to see you. So I'll hand those materials off to you. But again, my name's Elizabeth Thailander, and I'm the Community Outreach Coordinator for the Urban Forestry Administration. And you can reach me at elizabeth.thailander, T-Y-L-A-N-D-E-R, @dc.gov.
Phone.
So thanks.
Phone.
Oh, 202-671-5141. 202-671-5141.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Oliver. The CNC passed a resolution last time to ask for permeable sidewalks so we can support bigger and better trees. In one case, Deputy Director of DDOT, Karina Ricks, promised us that in an upcoming project on Park Road, we would get permeable pavers so that we could begin its street. Except for some streets, and there's been a survey of the local residents over streets replaced with big shade trees that can, and many of them, and permeable pavers, so we could keep them going. Is there some way we can work with your office or the Office of Planning to try to reform a street where 1,000 people live? And it's crosstown arterial. It's very busy and very difficult, and begin to improve the ambience for those folks.
I'm not familiar with exactly which block. Is it the block that's relatively close to us here? I walked down that road recently, and I believe the sidewalks are currently too narrow to, you know, that it would violate ADA code, I believe, if we were to add tree boxes, because it would take away from the width.
It already violates ADA code.
Okay. And so you were saying that there's...
And Karina Ricks promised a member of Jonathan Cass present, a member of Jim Graham's staff, that they would start to correct those things. And tonight we have a resolution submitted by three civic groups, local civic groups, asking that something be done. And we're looking for help.
I'd be happy to help wherever I can. We don't have any control over the sidewalk development, though, or widening. I'm not sure which administration that is.
Well, we're talking to a lot, but with the more the merrier. You have moral suasion. You should. And we'd like to give you moral suasion, I think, this commission would. Yes, Jack?
I wanted to ask, does this represent a change in UFA personnel?
Because I'm sitting here?
Are you replacing somebody?
No, no, I'm an addition, actually.
Ah, okay.
We both are.
Good. The other issue is there some way, there was a huge tree across the street from me that looked like it was 100 years old, 60 feet tall, 60-foot shade diameter, in front of the library. And it was shut down and without any notice to anybody. And it was a terrible loss. It was done because supposedly it might sometimes affect the very expensive historic tiles on the top of the library. But people felt really that the city was scornful of their interest. I would like a promise from someone to start to notify at least the ANC commissioner by email in which these kinds of events might take place at least a week ahead of time. And since they are major changes that affect, then I believe that by law, you are required to give us 30 days' notice.
I would agree with that. Was this tree on private land, or was it a public space?
It was on public space. It was in a tree box.
Well, that's odd. Yeah, I'd be happy to grant to follow up on your promise. Typically, I don't know what the current practice is among the different arborists. I don't know if you know this, either, Liz. But I know a lot of the arborists try their hardest to let as many people know as possible when something is coming down.
But you see, the law requires you to give the ANC 30 days' notice.
Well, I'm glad I'm sitting here.
Not on the tree, but you have to post it on the tree for a week. I swear, I'll bring the statute in.
Oh, but I'm going beyond that, Jane.
Yeah.
Wait, Jack.
That's on the books right now.
We really need to move on here. We're spending a lot of time
on this. Fine. Thank you so much, and I hope you'll go to our website, get our email addresses, and send us all more information.
I'd be happy to. Like I said, I just recently started, and I'm really looking forward to doing a good job.
I'm sorry, we have a huge amount of business, and
sure.
It's something that we could spend the evening on, I think.
Do you want my email address really quickly?
No, send it to me.
Okay.
That's a way to get it into my box, and I think others. I'd like to. We spent the. Okay, we spent 11 and a half minutes on that topic.
Trees are wonderful.
So, Barbara?
Yeah, I'm Barbara Hayden. I'm speaking as just a resident, not as a member of any group at the moment. A call has gone out for letters to the DC Council, a routine annual audit of ANC's feedback from the public. I thought I would have the letter ready so I could read to you all. I don't have it, but I can tell you my main points. In my opinion, as someone who has only been watching the ANC for 2 years, and many people have been coming for 20 or more, 30 or more years, so I'm still a newbie, this is the only organization, in my opinion, that has the charter and the underpinnings that can solve contentious neighborhood problems. I've been impressed with the data gathering and fact-finding that you've done. In fact, I came to be an ANC watcher through commercial corridor meetings that were held by Greg and by Stormy and by Jack when I was a member of the Main Street Volunteer Corps. I have one suggestion, though. I think the city should take maybe some of the treasury that it gives you all and set up a staff for you all that maybe the city pays. And it could be done by the ward. I think David Vaca can confirm this. There's 37 ANCs. So something like that. I know that's a lot of money for each one to have a staff. But if there was a, basically, I think you need access to paralegals and maybe college interns, law students. you need bookkeeping support. Every volunteer organization I've been in has had trouble with their money management. I have not seen any malfeasance, if that's the right word, of the Treasury here, but I have seen bad bookkeeping because you rely upon one person, you trust this one person, 8 months go by and this one person lets you down. So you need a staff. It's hard to hire your own. Maybe the city could swing it.
Amazingly, she was given 3 minutes and took 2 minutes and 10 seconds. That's worthy of emulation. Jack, would you like to comment? Jane?
I know there have been inquiries from other ANCs, especially in Ward 7, asking, this is a little to the point, and it might be a bit controversial, about some sort of monetary... some remuneration for ANCs for doing these tasks. This isn't a solicitation for funds for me, but ANCs work hard, and treasurer, not because I'm a treasurer, Jack does all the work, don't be kidding, but there's in communities of need there may be some remuneration that's called for, and I think there have been letters sent to Gray, is it Gray who's in charge of the agencies, about that. So I think that would help in certain parts of the city, and I think we're having a treasurer's meeting or something coming up pretty soon on the 13th, a hearing for the ANCs, and I know some of the ANCs that are listed, I've seen a treasurer resign, he just put the thing up because he was in such turmoil. I know another ANC in Ward 7, they can't have access to their checkbook, it has to be in the central office because the former treasurer's in prison. I mean, it's a problem. And
it's fairly common, actually.
So, I wish that would be revisited in terms of people having to put time in. I mean, the council, no offense, they get $90,000 plus for a part-time job, and a lot of them have their full-time law firm jobs. So why would the ANC that expends a lot of labor not be considered to be remunerated, or whatever the term is?
Let me mention, Jane, that I put on the draft agenda last, and it's on the chip that that Jack carries from my shoulder to his. That where we'll have a long list of ideas for improvements, and I hope we'll get to that. Dave, Oliver, let me mention that we are too small to attract the attention of good staff, and so Jack and I are working with other local ANCs to combine our forces so that we can put together enough money to be able to attract someone that might be stable. Barbara, by the way, tried for a long time to get a staff, and mostly as a volunteer, and because we couldn't write a check for 8 months, we lost it. Next person.
My name is Richard Huffine. I'm the president of the Friends of the Mount Pleasant Library, and I'm here tonight in part to inform the community about a community meeting that will happen on March the 11th. It's next Tuesday at 6 p.m. at the Mount Pleasant Library. It's our first opportunity as a community to give feedback and input on a renovation that will happen to the interior of the library sometime in the near future. So I encourage everyone here to come and to tell your neighbors and encourage you to come. It's called a Hopes and Dreams meeting, so it'll be a very high-level discussion about what we expect and want out of our library here in Ward 1. This is the only library in Ward 1, and it's unfortunately hidden in a lot of ways behind a national park to Mr. Marconi, the inventor of the radio. But there are a lot of opportunities. The building is stable now. It's just finished an exterior renovation where all of the problems with water and lighting and security have been addressed. But there are a lot of opportunities to address the interior now. There's $7.5 million of appropriated funds waiting for the capital construction of this opportunity, and there will be an architect and engineering firm named sometime in the next 6 weeks or so to lead the effort to design our new library. So I know the ANC has a resolution of consideration tonight, and I've worked with Greg to help you craft that. It's very important that we hold the DC Public Library responsible for the laws in place to get the ANC's great weight and consideration in this issue. So.
Thank you. Jack? Jane?
I was wondering, I'm not intimately familiar with the organization in Mount Pleasant, but if the book collection is an issue that people are going to bring up, revamping the book, it seems that there's an erosion of the collection citywide. And
I personally would agree with you, and I think it is an issue that we should raise. One of the issues is if the building is closed for renovation, the collection that's there now will probably not come back, and they will buy new books for the building, and those books will not be of the quality that we expect and have grown to have in our collections now. So I think we need to raise that as a priority to ensure that the collection reflects the community. Southeast Library has had a real problem since their makeover because the collections do not reflect the community in and around the Southeast Library. So I hope that we bring that up on the 11th, and we should say this is a diverse community, and the collection should reflect that diversity.
Dave, Oliver, as you heard, Richard Huffine, Ellen Carty, and I, and always Mount Pleasant, have been working for over 6 months to try to put together ideas. And we were on the design meeting, and the results of all this work is now codified in a resolution that is available for consideration for tonight. It essentially would give us time, ask that the money not be spent helter-skelter, and for a relatively light rehab, but instead I spoke with Neil Rogers, the committee clerk for the DC Council Committee. He said there's $1.5 million in the budget immediately, and the rest is being deferred. He advised keep it, but don't push for any further amount, because it's really not there for a fast piece, and I think that their staff Harry Thomas's office will back us, as well as people all around the ward, if we start to work together on this.
Well, let me just correct the record on the issue of money. Capital monies in the district don't actually exist until they are brought forward from the bond structure. So what DCPL has probably done is brought forward $1.5 million for the architecture and engineering process, which will take the rest of this fiscal year. They have the ability to bring forward the other $6 million whenever they wish to do so.
Uh-huh.
So, but it's not like a budget, an allocation with an operating budget. It's permission to borrow from the bond structure. So we have $7.5 million in permission to borrow. And that the council will not take away from us without Jim Graham's wrath, I promise.
Okay, thank you. Thanks for the clarification. Next, anyone else?
Hi, I'm Marika Torek, the Mount Pleasant Neighborhood Alliance, and I just wanted to ask the ANC if they would consider giving money to the Operation LiveLink program. I think it's a worthy program that has helped enhance public safety for folks in the community. We've just added a third line, and probably people don't know that yet. There's a third phone now and a third phone number, and the program is moving along, and we could use more money for outreach, especially now that we've added a third line. We have to do more outreach. So that's my how much. Whatever you're willing to give. I mean, it takes a lot of money to it takes a lot of money to run the thing. So, $1,000, $2,000, $3,000. You guys have $50,000 in your coffers. I mean, it's pittance. So you have to do a lot of outreach. In order to reach every resident, we have to do mailings, we have to do flyers, we have to do magnets, all that kind of stuff, and it costs us money. And now that we have a third phone number, we have to get that information out there as well, and the internet isn't enough of a vehicle to do it. So I ask that you all consider that. And for those of you who don't know the numbers, it's 689-4277, which is right now Keela's. But however, I want to mention that I just heard from the lieutenant that there's reorganization of our officers going on right now. So actually Calhoun, which is 689-4278, is no longer in our PSA. And so we're going to have a new officer. And then I'm not sure who's taking the third phone yet, but that number is 689-9913. So that's pretty much it.
Thank you, Marika. You spoke for a minute and 50 seconds. It was very good. Anyone else? Oh, first.
No questions?
No, I really think, I'm hoping that Anita Shelton will speak to us.
Oh, great. Thank you very much.
Okay, get the microphone, please.
Thank you very much. I'm Anita Shelton, your neighbor, 1937 Lamont Street for 35 years. And you may or may not know that in Ward 1, we are without a organizational structure for our Democratic Party. And it has been involved in a lot of more stuff that I can't do in three minutes. But anyway, on March the 15th, there will be a voting. And we have some more information, and I am running for chair. Because I believe that we should have a strong organization in the area, and I am retired now, and I can do more than I used to. So vote on March the 15th, and more information is in your newsletter about the location at the new recreation center between 14th and 15th on Girard. Thank you very much. I'll be available to answer any specific questions.
Do you have to be a registered Democrat?
Yes, you do.
Anyone else? Yes.
Jack and I have had a little exchange on the internet about the Hatch Act, and I just want to put on the record that this body is a nonpartisan body, so we're not Democrat Republican.
I understand. So, that's why I was hesitant.
No, I mean it's your comment, but I just wanted to remind you that we can't express any partisanship for or against.
We are specifically prohibited from candidates coming and giving their campaign speeches here. You did not.
I really think we should encourage grassroots democracy at all levels in our neighborhood.
Yes.
I think the key there is to be even-handed about it.
Right.
So if someone from the Green Party wants to come talk, they are welcome.
Okay. That was 2 minutes. It is now 41 minutes after the hour, or we've... What? Excuse me. When I said anyone else, I didn't see a hand. Okay, please introduce yourself.
Okay, my name is Jose Chopping, and I'm from 31 Pleasant Street Cooperation.
Would you say your name slowly so
Jose,
I can...
Jose Chopping. Chopping.
Yes.
Okay, I'm from 31 Pleasant Street. We are co-op in the building. We got the building in about 6 months in office, and we submit the application to the HTD. The building is priced by July 24th is 1.8. That's the building. We got 18 units and one small business on the building. We're trying to get this. We got the Eagle Bank to give us a little temporary financial to us as soon as the HTD give us back the application. We put the application in about 2-3 weeks, and we wait to 45 days to give us approval. So that's my question today. In case we are, he's Mr. Roberto also. He's all part of the COP. He's secretary at the COP. Thank you.
Thank you. And by the way, we are required by law to provide translators. We have bought the equipment for simultaneous translation. If you give us a little notice, we have a variety of residents that we can bring in. But it does take a day or two in advance, so that we know that we, by the last census, have about a third of our residents are Spanish-speaking, and we have spent a great deal of money and time to try to provide those facilities. So next time, please spread the word that if you wish to bring people that are more comfortable with Spanish, just give us a chance.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Now, I think there may be questions.
Any questions?
Because this deals with a resolution.
Yes, I have a question. That the business, is that the Elizabeth?
Yes, correct.
Yes. Yes, we did have a resolution ready last meeting, but no one was here to answer questions. So I think, Greg, you probably have some questions.
Sure, but I want to make sure that everybody, that when I'm chairing, I speak last. Jane, Dave, Jack, Oliver. Well, I've been active with affordable housing and workforce housing for a very long time. And the big complaint that I have had about many of these programs is that people come in, they get subsidies, and 5, 10, even 15 years later, they can flip it over and recently walk away with $50,000 or more of unearned appreciation, and we lose affordable housing. So it has tended, in a number of cases, to accelerate the law, while the public policy intent is to provide affordable housing, it has instead accelerated gentrification, contrary to the interest. Now, recent policy changes have gone on around the city where MANA, that used to do this all the time, and a number of others are changing. Some of the more radical are putting it into land trusts to assure that it is in perpetuity. Others go for 99-year leases, and there is a coalition run by one of Mount Pleasant's foremost residents that is suggesting a minimum of 30 and more if possible. So this is a critical question because we do not want to see a movement that claims it's for affordable housing, which actually turns over and is an instrument for more rapid gentrification. How are you dealing with, I'm sure you're aware of this problem, and how do you deal with it?
We're trying to get this this deal. We have a consult work together. We have also work together on the deal. But the thing is that we all who living on the building, we are low income. So we're interested to buy the units. Not like we're to making a profit in the future. Just to make sure we can afford it to pay because the rent is very high. So in this area, so and then we got an opportunity to get the building. So that's why we bring in to.
Pero no entiendo nada. Por favor, mi pregunta es, ¿cuántos años si debe tener un inquilino?
We're trying to get as many years we can. Is it with 20 years or 15 years? But that's our idea.
Well, I must say that you will not have my vote until we can clarify this question, because too many times I've heard this ANC have promises that we'll do as best as we can, and then it turns out the best that it can is only a few years, and then the building, you come back 10 years later, and the building is the opposite of affordable. So...
But also, we're trying to get the renovation of the building also.
But
as well.
Still, you will, just speaking for myself, not as the acting chair here, you will not have my vote, nor support, unless we can clarify that. No, I'm glad. Thank you for your assistance.
What? Okay.
You don't have to respond.
Our proposal is to see where we put in the application. We put in to the we asked for 40 years to pay the deal. That's all. If we got in the agenda, 40 years to pay the deal. That's our proposal. What time?
Well, then, I suppose we could pass a resolution conditional upon 40 years, with that as part of the statement. Okay, fine. Anything else?
Nothing.
Okay. You. Anybody else?
Greg, I was just going to say you could flip your building if you want to low rent housing.
I would propose at this time that we vote on giving Mr. Bolden 15 minutes to tell us about his neighborhood investment fund.
Do I hear a second? All in favor? It's 5-0. You have 15 minutes. By the way, this last discussion lasted exactly 8 minutes.
And he's speaking to the mic the whole time. Okay, I hate to put my back to you all, but is it possible if I can stand there?
Yeah, wherever. How's it? That's the beauty of the wireless system.
This will allow me to also point to the thing as well. Let me see. Beautiful. What I'm here to talk to you about today is the Neighborhood Investment Fund. And I'm going to go through what the fund is, what it means to Columbia. This is the Columbia Heights NIF area, but I'm going to explain everything in detail. The Neighborhood Investment Fund boundaries were set by City Council. This fund determines an investment plan that we created at the Office of Planning to direct funding from a particular source. I'm going to get into the details. These are the boundaries here. I went ahead and did a blow-up of 1D here, which includes, even though it shows only one half of Mount Pleasant, it actually includes both sides of the Mount Pleasant street. The Neighborhood Investment Fund is a revolving $10 million fund that goes citywide. This money is... It says that it's 15% of personal property tax, but in actuality, that just means the taxes that is collected from businesses, not from real estate and not from home ownership. This fund is used to finance economic development projects in 12 target areas in the district, one of which is considered the Columbia Heights Neighborhood Investment Fund area, which includes part of Mount Pleasant. This fund is actually controlled and handled by the Deputy Mayors of Planning and Economic Development. We were asked to work with the community to develop an investment plan, which I will get into. These are the 12 areas throughout the city, one of which has been Columbia Heights, and the others are primarily areas that are in need of some investment, and this is an opportunity to do that. The purpose of this plan is that instead of, as things have been done in the past, typically money has been released, money has been raised, and just put out there for various projects, whether those projects are directed through the city, feeling like what it is that the city may feel needs to be done, or is directed through various, just kind of a blind application process. The changes in this round and over the next 5 years is that we decided to go to the community, we decided to talk to people in the neighborhood to ask them what it is that they feel that they need to prioritize as far as the investment planning goes. If you have any additional questions, this is the number to the deputy mayor's office, and this is the website to the deputy mayor's that will give you the information on how to get to it, but I'll explain that in more detail. The way the planning process was done, first and foremost, the Office of Planning looked at all of the plans for the Columbia Heights area that you saw in purple, including the Mount Pleasant transportation planning, including the public realm plan that has been done, including a number of plans throughout Georgia Avenue, Great Streets plans through that entire Ward 1 area. We looked at the plans. Then we had a number of community meetings. We had one on the 12th of December. We had another one on January 8th. Of this year. We sent out flyers, we put information out on the listserv. We had a number of Mount Pleasant residents come. We had Jack come as well from the ANC. We got as much input as possible, and then we developed the plan. The plan will then have a 30-day public comment period. It will be submitted to the DC Council for final plan approval by them. I'm going to go into all of the details. The first workshop that we did in December, and then we pretty much reconfirmed it in January. The community gave us these current top priorities. I also want to emphasize right now, this is not set in stone. This is still in final draft form, and any comments that you may have will definitely be inputted. But these are the top priorities that were pretty much voted on at the time through the community efforts and through the plans that we brought. issues with youth services, commercial corridor revitalization, small business retention, and affordable housing. And there was actually a note that seniors and people with special needs were really in need of affordable housing in this area. In regards to youth development, the main issues that came out of this process was a need for more after-school engagement, as well as recreation activities and further education for the children. As well as this happened to be a very, very big issue. Increasing youth employment options through readiness programs and job placement assistance. We're finding that more and more teenagers, after they get out of school, don't really have the tools that they need to find a job. And if they do have the tools, they really don't have the means to get them to where the employment is. So one of the investment strategies that came up was to use this funding to provide assistance to after-school programs. And this is actually very important in this area. Support ESL programs and literacy training for the youth. We're finding that there are a number of people, there are a number of immigrants in this community who have very good job skills who just may not have enough English in order for them to get a job. And this is the actual barrier right here, just being able to read and being able to have better English skills, as well as creating more recreational facilities towards youth development. There's a lot of stuff for the little kids, but we're finding that once you hit 18, you're kind of on your own. And that's kind of some of the issues that we're having in this community. Another big, big, big issue, especially with the opening of DCUSA and Target today of all day, is that there is a need for improved business district development through streetscape and public space improvements. This has been actually touched upon earlier in this meeting today. There are a number of streets, Park Road, 14th Street, Irving Street, Mount Pleasant especially, that haven't really gotten the attention that they needed. So we've looked at supporting the streetscape through maintenance programs, helping with facade improvements and things like that, and then providing for marketing assistance. We're finding that citywide and even neighborhood-wide, a lot of people don't really know what's being offered on these streets. A place like Mount Pleasant Street has a number of unique businesses, unique restaurants, unique stores, but unfortunately, a lot of people don't even know they're there unless you walk up and down Mount Pleasant every day. And there are a lot of offerings. This is a large community. Ward 1 itself, Ward 3, which is right next door, may be interested in some of the things that are here, but do they even know about it? Another important thing that was brought to our attention is that the improvement of local businesses is suffering. Apparently, because of the fact that there are a number of chain stores coming into the community, there's a big box store coming into the community, there's a need for increasing retaining the existing businesses. And part of the things that came out was, unfortunately, people were saying that the businesses themselves really don't appeal to people. They have problems with the interiors. They look bad. They have small signage. You don't really know what they're offering and what they're doing. So, and not to mention the fact that entrepreneurship is extremely hard, and we understand that. And a lot of people go into business without the proper training and technical assistance that can be offered. This fund can be used to help that, and I'll explain how that's done. There's also issues of affordable housing. When we spoke to people and we looked at the plans, the issue of affordable housing is glaring in this community, especially in light of things over the last 5 years. Our studies have shown since 2001, the cost of a house has gone up 40%. In this area, the cost of an apartment has gone up, I think, 70-something percent from where it is. And as a result, there is a need for affordable housing. There's a need to improve and expand the programs that aid housing preservation as it exists. And this is something that, honestly, we did not know. There is a need to identify and monitor rental units that are expiring. Apparently, there's an unfortunate practice where if your Section 8 contract is expiring within 6 months, a number of the landlords are not telling the tenants. So then 30 days before their contract expires and their rent's going to jump up maybe triple from what it is, then they get a notice saying, oh, yeah, by the way, next month your rent is $3,000. There is a need, and unfortunately there is no federal law in place that says that they have to give people a certain amount of notice. Yet that information is public knowledge. It's very easy to obtain that your contract is going to expire in November, but there's no way to do it. There's been an issue saying that people need to know, there needs to be some mechanism to let people know that, hey, in 8 months, your building is about to go market rate, so people have enough time to deal with that. Or
or they can actually use the opportunity to do the DCHD tenant opportunity programs, the right of first refusal, at least if they know there's opportunity. Another issue that has come up, and I think this somewhat gets to what you talk about a bit, Greg, is even though there is affordable housing issues, we don't want people to stay in subsidized housing forever. There has to be a mechanism to give people the opportunity to buy their own home. And unfortunately, that part of the affordable housing process has been neglected. There isn't a mechanism to help people transition into home ownership. So we're looking at possibly using this funding for that to help people transition from low-income housing into home ownership over a period of time through credit counseling, through helping with savings, unfortunately not writing a check for a down payment, but things that will help people go along. And also increasing, obviously, the number of available affordable units. There's a number of vacant properties, underutilized properties in this community that can be developed for affordable housing, as well as adding Columbia Heights as a target area for the annual housing programs. What this particular strategy means that every year DHCD has their list of areas that are really targets, meaning that if a developer wants to come in to do affordable housing, they get first priority over somewhere else. And we wanted to make sure that Columbia Heights will get added onto that list as a target area for annual finance programs. There's also been identified, once again, this is something that we unfortunately didn't realize, there's an identified for senior housing opportunities, primarily with age-in-place opportunities. And what this means is there are a number of senior citizens in Ward 1 in the NIF area that want to stay home, that don't necessarily want to have to leave their home and go into an assisted living situation or move to a smaller business, but they cannot necessarily keep their house up. They cannot necessarily mow their lawns or do the things that allow them, as well as go shopping and taking care of their businesses. Taking care of their homes. So a lot of people are being forced out of their house, whether they want to or not, simply because of the fact that they cannot maintain it. There's also an opportunity for further development of just more housing facilities in the community, and especially in commercial corridors such as Georgia Avenue, 14th Street, and Mount Pleasant, where people want to be located near shopping, they want to be located near transit. This is actually a listing of the investment goals and strategies. And what I'm going to tell you, what NIF is and how NIF works is, NIF is funding for nonprofits and community groups that can be applied for to do any one of these strategies. The way NIF had worked prior to this was any nonprofit can apply for NIF funding for any community purpose. But what this plan is doing, this plan is going to last for 5 years, and then at that time we'll revisit it, is it says instead of just having you make a decision based on any number of choices, we're going to put high priority on these items. And that way, if you come in with a proposal directed towards one of these items, then you will get great weight towards the funding. The funding programs that exist, and the Deputy Mayor's Office has a number of different programs, but the programs can range from pre-development funding for building affordable housing to simply getting $5,000 to run a program. But as long as it works within these areas, you get great weight towards your program. And the maximum amount of money you can get up to $200,000 for a project, or you can get something as small as $2,000. Now, realistically, they're not going to give you $200,000 to do a tree planting program, unfortunately, but they would give you $200,000 if you're going to build a building. So that's kind of how the program works. The applications go, they're not in our office, the applications are with the Deputy Mayor's Office. This, unfortunately, doesn't start until the fiscal year of 2009, which is in October. But then at that time, provided that this all gets voted on by the council, this plan will be in effect, and any nonprofit, the only regulation is that you have to be a 501c3. So whoever's a 501c3 can apply for the funding to implement a program based on one of these areas. And the closer you are to this area, and more importantly, the closer you are to those strategies, you can apply for that funding. Now, the plan itself, not asking anyone to memorize all of this, is on the website. here is on our website. Just go to planningdc.gov, go to neighborhood planning, go to neighborhood revitalization plans, and I'll give you all copies of this as well. And then you can actually pull up the plan. The only reason I didn't pull it out because it's 54 pages and it took a long time to do that and hand out copies to everyone. I will email each of you a copy of the plan. It is emailable. And if anyone else wants it, I can email it to you as well, because it is, we condensed it to a point where we can email it out, but printing it is a lot. And you can check it out at this site. You can check it out to see. The only other requirement, I'm sorry, I did miss this, you have to be in the purple area. So if you live here, you can't get NIF funding. And no. It's not match funding. It's
it flat. Was. It was.
It was, yeah. They've changed it. They've good. Changed it. They've it's as long as you're within this area, I think.
We've now you're a half minute past your 15.
I'm sorry. Okay.
Since we have a very full schedule, perhaps we can think about our questions and give you a call.
Okay. Okay. Well, thank you for your time. I just wanted to make sure everybody knew about it. By the way, please check it out and send me comments if you feel like you missed something.
Well, you did miss this ANC passed a resolution asking for a slightly different area for Mount Pleasant.
And the issue with the areas is the council set the priority. We didn't set the line.
I asked about it, and it was a matter that somehow or another you didn't have, couldn't put your hands on a copy of our resolution, and it went through the council. So hopefully we will look through your back email, or we can send you another copy, and it can be remedied during this council cycle.
Okay.
Which.
Also, I'm sorry for a quick chat. I actually have a copy of the plan on that
disk. Thank you. It is now 7 minutes after 8. Our public discussion period has gone on for an hour and 2 minutes. And I wonder if it would please the commission now to turn our attention to the business of the evening. Jack, would you also look at mine? Which includes, it copied yours and just added. Notice that I no longer pain you with the floppy. Not finding it? Well, it's faster than a floppy, at least, but not a lot. What I've done is go through and also summarize all the points so we can see them on one page at the beginning. Officer reports, secretary report.
Just a matter of approving the minutes for the February meeting. Does anybody have any corrections to make to the 15 minutes of the February meeting?
No. Well, seeing none, then I declare that they are accepted. I did send out a request to alter the one statement on the August 2007 minutes.
Yes. I have no problem with that.
Okay. So I ask consent.
This is strictly simply a matter of changing the authorship of one of the resolutions.
Yes.
To me instead of you, and we were both working on it together, so I really don't care whose name is attached to it. The resolution concerning Denise Wichter, I have no problem with replacing your name with mine as the sponsor of that resolution.
I would appreciate it. Thank you. because we did have some final.
So if no one has an objection to that, I will proceed with.
Seeing no objection, then it is approved. Any further reports from Treasurer? Action.
So we're good to go, and I have to write some checks tonight, I guess. Oh, and the invoice. I'm very sorry about that. I know you sent me a figure, but it's not an invoice, but...
it's all I got.
Could we write the check for that and then...
an email invoice is sufficient. It states that I have paid.
It just says amount paid, yeah. Can we do
it's
that tonight?
155.4.
Okay. Tonight, and I apologize for the
We'll just get it regularized. Perhaps another email to the treasurer.
I encourage everyone to save, if they send me something by email and it's invoice, just save it to make sure I got it.
It did take some searching because nobody could find it. Yes, Jack.
Would you care to summarize the matter of the $3,000 that we forfeited last year?
Was trying to follow the emails that were going on with you and the auditor's office, and it seemed that because we didn't get the quarterly report in for the one quarter that we forsook the funding that we would have gotten. Is that correct? There were five or six emails.
It was more subtle than that. We were, when Joe Esparza sent in the quarterly report, he did not include invoices. I mean, coming back again and again to this question, we've got to have invoices. We can't just hand out money. We've got to have the invoices. Otherwise, the auditor rejects it. And the auditor came back to Joe and said, do you have the invoices? And unfortunately, Joe never responded. Now, at the end of the year, it happens, I prepared a CD with our records for the entire year, which included those invoices. But nobody mentioned to our auditor that the CD included all the records of the year, including the invoices, so he didn't even look at it. And as a result, we forfeited $3,000 for expenses paid for which there were no invoices. The biggest chunk of that was $2,000 for that traffic, the transportation meeting early in the year. And we had all the paperwork.
Yes.
But it just never got to the auditor.
One thing I've learned with dealing with the folks downtown is that you have to call and ask them if everything is okay. Because if you don't call and get a positive human contact back, then they will not tell you that there's some small dot that's missing, and they will then you lose your case. So I'm hoping that we will, in fact, start to work with some other agencies and get a... I'm told that Adams Morgan has someone that they are fond of and that they're willing to share as a bookkeeper.
Yeah, I think the appropriate message there is that this does require active follow-up to our quarterly reports to make sure that nothing is missing.
Right. And it's something that I think volunteer ANC commissioners cannot... when I first came on, the ANC, there was $9,400 in the treasury. Very shortly, we stopped using staff. If we had continued to use staff at the previous rate, we would have essentially $10,000 in the treasury. The difference is that some of us have been volunteering our time over these years and saved the money. So that's some people talk about the money. Well, that's where it came from, by out of the volunteer time. Moving on, any other report?
The Education Committee, I would like to have discussion about the resolution. I know there were about 20 emails that went back and forth, and I've been trying to keep up.
It's on the agenda.
Yeah, so I was wondering if we could move that up because some people are here that have been waiting to hear about it. I mean, it wouldn't hurt to move it up on the agenda. There's some confusion. We just want some clarity and to discuss it in general.
Seeing no second to your motion.
If we could move up the discussion about the funding to Bancroft, the resolution, if we could move that up, because there's some people in the audience who came to hear about that, and I don't think it would hurt anything to move that up.
I didn't realize that was a motion. If it's a motion, I'll second it.
Then
I would like to ask that you change the motion to a discussion of the issue so that we can get clarity, because if it is a motion, my understanding is that it is contrary to district law, and I, as acting chair, I'd have to rule it out of order. So may I consider that to be a motion for discussion for clarity? Good. Then all in favor of that, that we start the discussion now? It's 4. Do you abstain or vote? Vote no. Okay. So it's would you let's find the point, and then we can have a quick discussion.
Yeah, this it was a resolution that I sent in maybe I forget what day exactly, maybe Friday or Thursday, and it was about allotting money specifics for a table for either one or three tables for Bancroft Science tables to complement their existing lab tables. And the reason that I came up
with... It's on my stick, Jack, not on yours.
The reason I came up with that figure and idea was because I went over and talked to Bancroft and talked
what
to
is
Faye
on yours,
and talked to some people there and then talked to Fred Salloway, who's the head of the PTA. And after consulting the teachers, the science and literature teachers, I guess, at Bancroft, and the priorities, they said that that was what they would like to request. So since then, there's been some discussion about whether this constitutes school equipment and how that's broadly defined. And so I'd just like to open that discussion up to see how that goes. And I also have some other ideas about funding for Bancroft. This initiated by...
May I ask you, I'm ruling the other ideas out of order for the moment so we can confine it to the discussion.
Okay, this is for the history. This is to put this in historical context. Because a member of the community, and this is why this issue is on the table now, because someone from the community came and asked if we could fund a literacy contest or a book contest at Bancroft. So that's how it began. So I eventually want to go back to that topic because I brought some examples of things that we could fund, little examples.
Jack.
Would someone please specify what the motion is on the table?
It is to discuss this.
To discuss what?
To discuss the motion is simply to discuss the It is purely to discuss this resolution. It has not been entered.
It isn't going.
Okay. It is to discuss the resolution resolved. ANC1D supports, where is it? Purchase 4 tables. It's with laminate tops from a catalog for Bancroft Elementary School, period. Okay. Jack.
All right. We ought to have a motion and a second and then proceed to discussion.
Well, we have to discuss this issue. It's purely discussion.
Who has seconded this motion?
David Bosserman.
Thank you.
So does anybody want to talk about the illegality of the funding or the guidelines? Or I'm really trying to get some guidance here.
Jack.
Yeah, we have a specific judgment from the Attorney General of the District of Columbia that ANCs cannot purchase equipment for schools because the law specifies that we cannot fund activities which are duplicative of government activities. And this has been judged to be a duplication of government activity. Basically, the school should be buying this equipment, not the ANC. So this grant would be illegal.
Could I respond to that? I guess the ruling that I saw was an excerpt of a statute or something, right? And so what I would like to do is a little more research about how equipment is defined in terms of that statute. And I also like to remind you that right now the city is being sued because they failed to release any details for their school budget for the future. They had a meeting about the mayor's
Jane,
budget.
Jane, I rule that discussion out of order.
So how are we going to know what constitutes funding and what's going to be funded in this school
Jane,
and
Jane,
what is equipment?
Jane,
I would like to know
order.
That.
Jane, you're
out
of order.
I'm not out of order. Yeah. Why am I out of order?
I declare you. You can appeal to the commission to reverse my ruling. But
Rolled out the budget, so how do we know what constitutes equipment that's going to be funded by the school, Jack?
Jane,
what guidance do we have?
Yeah, actually, the statute goes further than that. This is a small application of a larger principle that applies across the board.
This is statutory interpretation, okay? And so I don't think that two people with the excerpt of a statute have the authority unambiguously to determine
policy. We have an established policy on this ANC passed unanimously that we do not have we have closed our grant program.
A grant program for what?
For dispersal of ANC 1D funds.
For what?
For grants.
For any, Greg, you asked for grants over the last year for projects. I don't understand how this constitutes something that we can't fund, yet all of the proposals that you put out are not grants. I want some clarity on that. I want some objectivity here.
Any further discussion?
Will someone please speak to that?
They're not required to. So I call for
a vote. Objectivity's not required.
Jack,
can you please clarify what distinguishes this request for funding versus the $20,000 that you asked for before your organization?
Let me respond to that, because a grant is money handed out to a nonprofit for public purposes.
Greg's?
Do not interrupt me. I have the floor. A grant is money handed out to a nonprofit for purposes that serve the neighborhood. This is entirely separate from ANC expending funds for its own purposes via contracts or purchase, whatever. That's not the same as these are two different categories, and grants are subject to a whole separate set of district code laws.
And so the funding that was requested for the group RAMP, which is a nonprofit, for investigating the ability to have live music in the neighborhood is different?
It was.
According to the statute or according to the bylaw? What is the difference, except that you guys don't want to fund Bancroft, but you wanted to fund that? What is the distinction by law or bylaw or statute or interpretation? I want to know what the objectivity is here.
You're welcome to consult other people. This is common
in the
district.
I'm consulting the senior members of this commission and their decision about these things.
The chair notes that there has been that all parties have had a substantial say. So I ask that we move on to the next item.
Does anyone have any comments?
Yeah, I have a comment. I think we really do need to clear this up, and I'm not sure how we go about it. Do we have to hire a lawyer? Do we have to ask Dear Gottlieb, what is the procedure if Jane has a specific question to be resolved?
Well, that can be done, and this will be an ongoing discussion, obviously. Oliver.
For me, as a new commissioner, I still do not really know how ANC is supposed to spend its budget. If ANC is to spend the money helping the neighborhood, then I think ANC should do that. But based on this resolution, I think purchasing tables for such an amount, I think, is too much. If you could spend the amount in buying things like computers, that would be much better, because tables we can get donations from community members and give the tables to the school rather than spending this amount of money.
Thank you. The chair observes that there has been discussion from all parts, and so I believe the motion that we have a discussion has been fulfilled. So let us look at the available items for next.
Are we not going to vote on this motion?
No, there's only a motion to discuss.
Well, that's why I was asking what the motion was that we were
it was to
on the table. It was motion to discuss, not
yes.
the motion itself.
That's right. So I believe we should now move.
I really think we should stick to proper parliamentary procedure, which is somebody makes a motion, then you have a discussion of the motion, rather than a discussion of whether to...
Jackie,
a discussion on a motion that isn't on the table, that doesn't make sense.
It is proper to ask to move for a discussion period.
It's a worthy
it's,
thing
it's
to
part
be discussed,
of, it's part
Jack.
Of, it's, part, it's included in Sturgis's book. That's a legitimate thing that we do.
So we will revisit this in the future when we get some clarity?
Well, you are welcome to raise it in the future. We have an open agenda process where anybody can raise anything.
Thank you, Greg.
I would also like to observe at this time that this is not specifically directed at anyone, that when I'm acting as chair, I will rule out of order any personal commentary about any member of the commission or member of the audience, that personal attacks and personal references are entirely out of order. And so please be warned that that's what is going to happen. We can now move. Jack, I have a list that I prepared of all the ideas that were submitted. And the question is, do we have any for consent or for priority consideration? If you move down, you'll see the whole list. There it is. I think so. Anything else? I think there will be. I believe that several of us would oppose it as that it is now stated. In fact,
I would say that only the gavel purchases consent, and then we should move on to priority items, beginning with the plans for this March 13th council hearing.
Okay, but we would move immediately to unfinished business.
Say that again, please.
After consent and priority, then we would choose priority, and then we would move to unfinished business. Okay, so would you please read the, Jack, since I believe you formulated that, would you please read the consent item?
A gavel purchase, simply authorizing an expenditure of up to $60 for a gavel for use by the chairperson, which Stormy has requested.
Is there a second? Jane seconds. It's the nature of consent is that we vote immediately, essentially without discussion except clarification. All in favor? It's 5-0. Let me try a consent item that is not in there, and it may fail, but the Urban Land Institute is having another major seminar on real estate trends, and particularly the movement into the city and what kinds of things will attract people to move into certain neighborhoods. The cost, if I register right away, is less than $150, and if I wait, it will be over $200, and I've been, with the one exception, mostly funding going to these things for myself recently. I wonder if the commission would, it's in our budget that we have these seminars, and I would ask the commission to authorize up to $150 for me to go to the Urban Land Institute seminar. Anyone willing to second? Well, I guess it fails for a second.
It would help, Greg, if you'd speak up a little bit. It's awfully hard to hear you over here.
Okay, then, is there a second for this motion?
Could you state the motion succinctly?
Okay, the motion is that up to $150 be authorized for Greg Edwards to attend the annual Real Estate Trends Urban Land Institute seminar. Thank you. Any discussion?
It's a consensus proposal. When and where is this meeting?
It's in Washington, D.C., early next month. And as if you've seen, I brought back sometimes quite extensive reports from these in the past.
So you would consider this a training expenditure?
Yes.
Would you explain into a little bit detail as to what the training is all about?
Well, you go to these seminars and they have experts tell you what is going on and what the prospects are. And the reason that I'm interested in doing this and that I've been paying for many of them myself is that we have a major problem here in Mount Pleasant with an urban center, $1 billion investment opening two blocks away. And at a previous seminar, they said that when these things happen within 5 years, anything within a half of a mile to any other commercial corridor typically dies unless you take some steps. At the last one that I went to, where I distributed the notes of it, it had a series of ideas of what could be done. And I would hope to come back from this with further ideas that I would write up and share with the commission. Is that? All in favor? Four? Any opposed? One. Well, it fails as a consent item. What? Jack?
Jack voted yes for the 150. So did Greg and Oliver. Dave abstained, and I voted against.
I thought you raised your hand, Dave.
Well, he voted for or against? Four.
Yeah. Okay. Right.
Four,
okay.
Four, and one against.
So we'll come back to that under new business. Or we could, may I ask?
I mean, there's no reason that a unanimous vote is required.
Okay.
I mean, we voted on the motion.
Okay, so let me declare it then passed, and we'll move on. We move then to, is there a nominee for a priority topic? Jack had said the plans for the March 13th.
Yeah,
as
I think
a priority discussion.
Obviously we've got to deal with that, because that's before the next meeting.
May I see a show of hands to approve that as a priority item? So it's 5-0. Jack, would you proceed? Let me note that it's now 8:32.
Okay, we have this questionnaire to deal with, but perhaps more to the point is there's the question of who is going to represent us.
Is that questionnaire tied to the meeting?
Yes, it's to be turned in. I believe it's to be turned in prior to arrival at this hearing. But here's the main issue. The chairperson and treasurer are requested to appear at this hearing. Now, I am under the impression that Stormy would prefer to have someone else act as chair.
The deal was that I made with her to get her to accept was that I would fill in for her any time she could not go. But I think it's actually the commission's decision. So, in keeping with my promise, I will go. In keeping with the exploitability of Jack McKay to serve the commission, I would gladly nominate you, Jack.
I'm
I have scheduling issues.
Then
I think the only question here is I would say that Stormy can go if she wants to go, but if she has any problem at all with that, then the vice chair would quite naturally fill in.
That's how she has set the thing up.
And I assume that Jane will attend.
Yes, and so in fact, she has told me that after the one time I dragged her through the Wilson Building, that she will not go back to hardly anything there again.
Stormy.
Stormy, yes.
Yeah.
Because it is quite
challenging for her.
And it's unfriendly once you get there.
Okay.
Yes. Okay.
Okay. So we agreed that basically Greg and Jane.
Let's codify that as a resolution that the two representatives will be the vice chair and the secretary.
And the treasurer.
The treasurer.
The secretary has no intention of being there.
Okay. All in favor? 5-0. So this is done. Later, sometimes we come back and wonder what we did, and so I think we should. And Jack, would you record that? So we now have 3 passed resolutions so far tonight, I believe. Jack, would can we delegate the chair to secretary to finish filling this out? Would you be willing to do that? Since you've almost already.
Can I repeat that?
Can we ask you to finish filling out this form?
There are issues concerning this film. I have filled out the routine matters.
Okay.
But there is some
issues. You got my input, didn't you?
Yes, and I've added that.
Good.
But I do want the commission to review it.
And Dave, by the way, I thought your input was very good. Thank you very much for putting that in. I would like to, if you haven't made it so far, that his name is not Mr. Gottlieb, it's Gottlieb Simon. And I'm not sure he goes by Mr. anyway. But everybody knows him as Gottlieb.
I need help from the treasurer on this. Who does the monthly bank reconciliation?
You scan it and put it in when you get the bank statement because you check the P.O. box, right?
It's checking the numbers, checking the balance, making sure that our spreadsheets agree with the bank balance in the checkbook.
So I'm supposed to put my name down on that, right? All right. So you've already submitted it to us online as an attachment, is that
yes.
correct? Okay, so we should fill in and let you know, let everybody, what would the process be?
I'm asking for guidance on filling in the blanks here. Who does the monthly bank reconciliation? Now, I have been making a practice of doing that.
Is this a reality or a should?
This is the reality.
I think we should report the truth, whatever it is. However ugly it might be, or handsome in this case may be.
I mean, since I'm a spreadsheet fanatic and I worry a lot about these things, I make sure that that our checkbook balances every month.
And you get Excel at home.
I ask you now as consent that we report that Jack actually does this.
That the secretary does the monthly bank reconciliation.
Yes. All in favor?
And then who reviews the reconciliation?
We all do.
Jack actually does it, I think.
Well, no.
No, you need a secretary.
Who reviews it?
Oh, who reviews it?
That Jane. Ought to be Jane.
Yeah, that's me.
Do you actually review it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good.
Okay, then I...
He's going to test me one day.
We can move right along on this. So we agree that we put in Jane. All in favor? 5-0.
We put in the treasurer.
Treasurer, fine.
Not a person, but an officer.
Okay.
Okay, this was routine.
Jack, if you go to the normal view, it would be much bigger for people like me that have bad vision. Thank you.
Has your commission established a location to maintain all commission files and records? Actually, that has been the case. I prefer to digitize everything and put it on the internet site.
If you give it to me, I'll start to put it on our website.
It all gets posted on a website.
Yeah, I like that.
And distribute it. I mean, it goes all over the place, but I think our policy should be keep everything in electronic form.
Yes,
rather
but I
than
did.
Paper.
In preparing for the school discussion, I went back and read a year's worth of prior resolutions, and I ran across a resolution 4 years ago designating your place.
Yes, that is the official designation.
And so that is, and it is the actual designation right now. Mm-hmm. So it is both a policy and truth that it's at the secretary's.
But what I'm trying to do is get this changed to say that we kept that the official site for keeping our records is on the internet, ideally at anz1d.org. I've been using anz1 the Yahoo site.
You send it to me and I'll put it up.
Because I can we have agreement on that as a policy? That all of our documents should be kept in electronic form on anz1d.org?
Then we let us suspend the rules and we have a separate motion for that, because we did have a separate motion for it 4 years ago. But I would like to see actually that we have that the temporary repository for physical records is the secretary's. The eventual repository.
Okay, then let me rephrase it that way, that whatever records are not suitable for digitization are kept at the secretary's house.
Otherwise, they're posted on the
internet. But to the extent possible, they go online.
Fine. Can we write that up? And I suggest with unanimous consent, or with general consent, rather, I suggest we suspend the rules, make this a motion, and so that it's in the record. We need to keep good motions. Would you care to write it down, Jack?
I don't want to write it down. I want to speed through this because we will be all night.
Okay.
I will take it from the audio record.
Fine.
That our policy will be...
Let me announce it for the audio record that at 8:41, we passed the resolution, a 5-0 vote, that all paper and temporary records unsuitable are not yet digitized are kept at the secretary's residence, and the rest are posted on the internet. Is that
good.
Adequate?
Yes.
So we've approved that. Now let's move on.
Okay. And the next section is where I need your help, Greg. Whose name is the registrant name for our domain?
Greg Edwards.
Okay, then the registrant's mailing address is yours.
Yes.
When does the current registration expire?
About 9 months from now.
Okay, you'll get back to me with that?
We renewed it 3 months ago.
Okay, you get back to me with that.
You should have the records too, by the way.
And the domain name?
You do have. Okay. You do have a copy of them because I distributed it in your
And the domain name is anz1d.org?
Yes.
Okay.
And we have a backup. We have a backup domain, anc1d.com.
We don't need that. We don't need that. Just keep it simple, Greg. Okay.
Maybe other people didn't know about it, full disclosure.
The bylaws have been updated to meet all the requirements. The only no on the list is the use of commission office and supplies, because we don't have a commission office.
I accept that. May I ask a show of hands to support the questions here? Oliver? So it's 5-0. And that lets me get, so for the audio record, let me put down the paragraph number and so on for that. That was in the question in Chairman Gray's questionnaire, Roman 2, item A, a checklist, and we approve yes, 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 no. And then what is the next one? Yes.
This is concerning the bylaws.
Yes. Okay.
What contact has your commission had with the Office of Advisory Neighborhood Commissions? I said we frequently communicate. Mr. Gottlieb, sorry about that.
Just call him Gottlieb Simon. I want to use the full and leave off the Mr. It's just gratuitous.
Say what?
The Mr. is just redundant, extra. You gentry types like all these titles. So. Whoops, I declare that comment out of order. I apologize.
And, Mr. Gardley, I don't know what I was thinking.
You can just do a search and place it.
So Jack is, pursuant to a request, is replacing Mr. Gottlieb with the term Gottlieb Simon. Thank you.
Gottlieb Simon has been unfailingly helpful. Does anybody have any question or addition or change to make to that? He's been remarkable.
I would then add remarkably. Unfailingly helpful and of excellent quality.
We don't have to go overboard on this. It's just.
Oh, he's superb.
I know he is. I'm not arguing with that. I'm just saying.
He needs a raise.
They're going to look at 37 of these things. They're going to check it off, and this isn't going anywhere.
Okay.
It isn't worth agonizing over.
We can write a resolution later.
We just have to have proper answers so that they don't look at this and say, this ANC is messing up.
What would you like to see from the Office of
I didn't have anything to say under that. What would you like to see from
Office? I've got some ideas for things, and that is to say we'd like to see the staff expanded to 10 so they can assist us with support for difficult issues with the Office of Planning, the Offices of Planning, and the various boards and commissions. The reference for that I've seen is several studies of similar kinds of organizations, and they really don't work unless you have, in most cities like this, they have about 20 people in that office. Anyway, just an idea. I think he could use it.
Let me just rephrase that as that Mr. Simon should be provided with some staff support.
He needs more than two.
I don't want to put a number in it.
Fine.
Just some staff support, so he's not trying to do it all solo.
Well, he has a little, but it's not enough. It's not enough for him to work with. So
does he have any staff at all?
He has one slot, and it's too little for him to deal with.
But there's nobody.
He can't keep anybody.
Oh.
I've had long conversations with him about his situation. So that's why I'm really pushing for that. Would you be willing to put in substantial expansion?
It's not up to me, it's up to the commission.
Would the commission be willing? Gottlieb needs at least two more than his current one slot for support. It's too little. And
okay. Under the next item, those are the two contributions from Dave, running meetings what do you want to say about committees? I mean, I agree that I would say that the role and operation of committees are both very uncertain.
Well, one of the things that we need real help on is that we can't handle is things like surveys, the kind of preparations. If he had on his staff, and I've talked with him about this, that, and I've also spoken to Chairman Feather, for example, about this, that ANCs are really outgunned in dealings with the BZA and with ABC and so on. So if they had staff people, that would help us.
Greg,
this is just training here.
I moved on to the next line here. I'm talking about training.
Fine. Oh, training. Yes, okay.
I'm just wondering if we should expand that notion of committees, the statement of, I mean.
Dealing with agencies. Because there's a lot to learn. For example, I was surprised to discover that 3.5 years ago, this commission protested most of these alcohol licenses. And we sent the thing in, and because they never responded, we never followed up. And the voluntary agreements continued because we were too dumb to follow up. We could have started all this process 3.5 years ago. That was an eye-opener. I'd forgotten about that. So we really need help in how to deal with these agencies, so that we're in training for that, because dealing with the BCA or ABC board is no cakewalk.
I'm not sure the office would be capable of instructing people how to deal with agencies.
Gottlieb can be, yes. He has a great deal of experience, but he's spread thin. Indeed, last year he was of tremendous help to me in planning our strategy.
Yeah, I went to a dealing with agencies talk he was at, and mostly it was be nice to them, they'll be nice to you.
Not always true.
Okay, are we happy with those
yes,
entries?
Yes, fine. So, Jack, would you read them for us? This is item 3, and just quickly read them in the record, and we can then vote them. A, just read it. A.
What contact has your commission had with the Office of Advisory Neighborhood Commissions? We frequently communicate with Gottlieb Simon by email, and he's attended some of our meetings.
You can just read B in our answer and cut theirs.
How would you describe your experiences working with the Office of Advisory Neighborhood Commissions? Gottlieb Simon has been unfailingly helpful. What would you like to see from the Office of Advisory Neighborhood Commissions in 2008-2009? Recommend substantial expansion of the office staff. What topics or issues would you like to see the Office of Advisory Neighborhood Commission provide training on in 2008-2009? Running meetings, committees, dealing with district agencies.
May I see a show of hands if we approve these answers? 5-0. Moving on to item cluster 4, Office of the D.C. Auditor.
I really didn't have anything to say about the auditor, Jane, did you?
I wish they would give feedback when we do things right. And, I mean, just generally, and there's this, you know, apprehensions about what Jack said before, that you got to follow up and make sure that, like, the thing that happened with Joe doesn't happen again. But if they would confirm, just like they did with the security bond thing, they sent something back, stamp saying, you're in, that would be good. I don't know if they have the resources, but it would be great. I think ANCs would get in less trouble.
Would the commission allow me, because I went with Joe to the training, and perhaps you know that because one of our most beloved members of this neighborhood made numerous complaints almost daily to them about us, I had to handle that relationship. I would say they... as my answer to number 8, let me just say what I would think. Well-intentioned, but difficult. We request that they realize they're dealing with part-time volunteers, untrained volunteers even, and we need more follow-up and hand-holding.
That's good. We need more help.
Yes.
Need better guidance from the auditor, yes.
And by follow-up, I mean that each item that may be difficult, we ask them to follow up, because we don't, in this case, we didn't know that we were doing something wrong. I think we should ask that they tell us when we're doing something wrong. Now, when I was handling the other set of complaints, I called them a lot, and every time I called, well, not every time, every 2 or 3 times I called, I got a response. And when I talked with him, he was very helpful. But it required me following through many times to make sure things were okay. What?
I've observed that it helps a great deal to go there physically. That one time I went down there was very, very helpful.
Dave, for you?
Oh, just from the audience, it seems like this is more the answer to part B.
Yes. Okay, then may I suggest for part A, it says, well-intentioned but difficult.
Can we expand on what is meant by difficult?
I think it's expanded on in Part B.
Okay.
So, on our two answers of for four, which are for A, well-intentioned but difficult, for Part B, need better guidance and response from the auditor. I see a show of hands. Jane? Do you approve this?
Yes.
5-0. Moving on.
That's okay. I wasn't done yet.
Ah. Well, you are now.
I was going to add a comment about how ANCs are amateurs, ANCs don't have a lot of time, they don't have a lot of expertise, and there's turnover in ANC officers, which means that they need a lot of hand-holding.
Do we all agree with that? Right away.
Let me add that later.
Thank you, Richard.
So I can move on.
Sorry for the such. While we're waiting, I want to say Richard Huffine has been very helpful in negotiating this whole issue of the library redesign. He and the Friends have been a real friend. Good. Can we move on now to cluster five?
Okay, we have not asked for office space. We've gone through that drill, by the way, and there just isn't anything suitable and not pleasant.
Then let's say that we have gone through the drill. And indeed, I tried to, I looked into it and made informal inquiries, and I had numerous conversations with Gottlieb about it, as well as with others. And they only have to give us something somewhere within a few blocks of the ward boundaries. So we could maybe find something deep in Ward 4. So I would hope we could say we did make inquiries. And if anyone is interested in joining this, we are still under discussion. And I can give you the details, but apparently very few people are interested in the details of these kinds of things. I think you could, for A, if you simply highlight no and put control U, it should get rid of it. And the same for no, but control U. Highlight it, put control U. Good. If yes, what was the response? Nothing suitable nearby. We were told nothing suitable nearby. I would like to add the comment that we used to have space in the basement of the library. It was quite convenient. They have the room now. They will have the room in the future. But because it's an independent agency, they don't want to deal with this. But maybe we shouldn't get off into that. We have other business to get to.
Yeah. Under parking placards, I noted the one problem I had with getting a parking ticket for parking in a district government vehicles only spot.
Good. If just to speed things up, under cluster 5, have the answer to A is yes. And for details, we were told there's nothing suitable nearby. Under B, we have gotten one ticket for parking in a spot marked DC government vehicles only. Gottlieb Simon pressed for an admission that the placard qualified commissioners for parking in such spaces, and the ticket was rescinded. All in favor that we accept that? 5-0. Moving on to item 6.
Okay, now these are Dave's submissions. For
Dave, would you rapidly read them?
Yeah, these are very apple pie things.
Just read them quickly.
One, move closer toward being receptive engineers for all Mount Pleasant restaurants. Two, restaurants, residents. It's late. Two, foster open dialogue on Mount Pleasant issues and concerns. Three, foster resident participation. Four, improve outreach to underserved groups. Five, move beyond the internet and across the electronic divide.
What happened to your ones about affordable housing and all that?
Well, that's it.
Oh, okay. Fine.
These are just placeholders.
Yes, and indeed, I believed in them and worked hard for those things my first year until.
that's the concern I have, because this implies that we haven't been doing these things, we haven't been doing well enough.
Well, that's all true.
Well, that's
we haven't been doing well enough.
I think that's where we may have different opinions, and this is why I'm not sure we want to. The trouble with commission goals is that it assumes common goals, and with 6 different commissioners with 6 different agendas, it's not clear that we really do have common goals.
Then let me suggest we just say we're working on it.
What the ANC is supposed to do, they are supposed to be the eyes and ears of the community. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to go from the ground up and give our community a voice. So I don't think that's a debate here. That's our function.
The question is not whether or not we do this. The question is whether we can do it more or better or more complete. I don't think we're at the end of the road.
Well, on 2, this commission has done a lot towards open dialogue, but I think it's done it very badly, and all of the leadership, Mount Pleasant, and all those different things that I've seen that I've actually participated in for 20 years has resulted in more polarization.
Yeah. Okay. Actually, on 1, if you want to get rid of the more closer, just be the eyes and ears. These are the goals.
I would appreciate that, because then it doesn't sound like a criticism of past operations.
Jack doesn't want to sound far away, so we'll take the closer out.
Would you accept that, Oliver? Okay. And I assume Jane would. She's silent. Usually if Jane doesn't accept things, she lets us.
But I certainly think we can improve outreach to underserved groups. I don't know if there's an argument about that.
Yes, I would like to, but I would think that item 2 is something that is a march too far.
Fostering open dialogue?
Yes. Because people don't have dialogue. They don't do things via logos. They do things via expressions.
So you're saying
emotions.
We just foster polarization.
Well, we're a long way from that. I would like to do it. But
these are just goals. These are guidelines.
Okay.
These are.
Then, but I'm going along with Jack's suggestion, which I agree with. I'm trying to strike a middle course. Let's put 2 or 3, not 5. And because they some people in the neighborhood will view those as obligations.
Well, scratch 2.
Yeah, you don't want that open dialogue.
It's not that we aren't doing these things. I think that these really are our goals.
Boy, I sure put years of work into most of these. And I've done a lot of research and tried to talk to people on how to do it. And nobody's doing it very well. Indeed, there is research on it, but we are unwilling to follow what the research says. So I think that's... So when I say there, when I look at these and say that there are goals, I found research that says what we ought to do, and we're unwilling to do it, I don't believe they're actually our goals.
Are we done with this?
Yeah, a quick... the issue of having dialogue, I think that should be, it should be included there, simply because we here as a community, there are issues that affect the community, and it needs dialogue. We have to dialogue with the community to solve those issues. And I think that should be there.
So Oliver wants two restored.
Well, I'm willing to put it back in if we say that we're going to actually pay attention to what works and undertake the hard work and the expense of doing it.
Well, we aren't going to say that on this forum, are we?
But this forum is a statement of what we believe, and therefore I don't believe in filling things in that we don't believe. I believe in the truth. But if it's a real goal, you know, you may believe in it, but if it's our goal to do it, that's something different. That implies that we're going to put the time. That means that people cannot be so volunteer and part-time. They've got to put a lot more time in, and we've got to put a lot more money into this. So
what are you proposing? I'm not sure.
I'm proposing accepting I said three. I just choose three of them, and I suggest also removing four. And
unfortunately, the silly paragraph specifies five.
What does?
Yes. And oh, of course. I mean, yeah.
How about learning? Here's a possibility. Learning how to engage across. Across the huge diversity of Mount Pleasant, towards substantial dialogue.
That's active learning. Why don't we put that in?
Okay. What do we want to add here?
Learning. Okay, number five. Learning how to engage dialogue across the large cultural and economic differences in our neighborhood. Okay. Economic divides in our neighborhood. Great minds and all that. You all right? So, may I see a show of hands for this? 5-0. Moving on to part B.
What five district-wide or neighborhood issues do you believe, it says two, will have the most impact on your commission in 2008? These, again, are Dave's.
So it goes loss of low-cost housing, inadequate funding of public schools to support the arts, recreation, and after-school activities, inadequate funding of local health and rehabilitation services, inadequate employment opportunities for low-income residents, poor notice and respond to ANCs by DC agencies.
Fine with me. Anyone else? Okay. Are all these acceptable? Show of hands. 5-0. Moving on to part C.
Uh, Okay, the first entry there is mine. Give ANZ commissioners access to the advanced version of DCMR, including search capability. We have only the basic version, basic access to the DCMR, which means you better know what you're looking for because you cannot do any search.
I, as a new commissioner, I don't really understand what MR means. Do you elaborate on that?
I'm sorry, I didn't understand.
The DC, the version of the acronym
for... Oh, DCMR.
MR.
The DC Municipal Regulations.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
By the way, all these items I've discussed with Gottlieb as being doable, and with the assembly when it was still operating, and many people think these are very are both doable and high priority items.
Very good.
Shall we accept them as written? All in favor? Okay, moving on. That completes item C.
That's it.
Oh, there's one more item.
Let's take a pass on that one.
I have a suggestion that they start to answer our resolutions.
But this is how the council can... Okay, you're saying that the council...
Can acknowledge and respond substantially to our resolutions. They're covered by the law. They should be doing
yes,
it.
Yes, I know.
Good point.
Okay.
Well, have we done enough work for the night?
We have. I think we have an overflow to the 18th. And is there anything else that must be gotten out tonight?
Well, let me just get an approval of this, and then we'll take a look at the list again. I just said council members should acknowledge and respond to ANC resolutions. Is that suitable?
Yes.
Do we have anything that really can't wait till the next meeting?
A lot.
What for instance, is pressing?
Some of it is further discussion for the details of this. There is the library issue that is coming up very quickly, and if we wait until April, well, it'll be out the door.
Okay. I did.
No, but to get it into the council process, the mayor and the budget process. It's all going on, and if we don't get it in soon, it'll be too late. Yes.
Jane wants to vote on it tonight. If we don't have to have another meeting.
Let's look at this. There's also issues on... well, there are two resolutions for the library. The park. Well, the other thing that I wanted was support for intervention from DDOT and the transportation plan. And we're at a real juncture, and Jack and I have seen what they're planning, and it's superficial.
Do you agree, Jane, that we need to have a second meeting?
I think we. And I hope we can get something substantial. Stormy has agreed to the meeting on the 18th.
Greg, you've got to speak up a bit.
Oh, I'm sorry, I've got a sore throat. Stormy has agreed to the 18th.
If we do have a second meeting, I would like to, and since we know what we're going to talk about, I would like to see the list for that meeting so I can put it on my posters.
We will try to do that, but sometimes items emerge in between.
No, I just mean the items that we know now.
Okay, fine.
Well, right now, we've got this list of topics right here, and we're not covering many of them. So we're going to have quite a bit left over to deal with at a second monthly meeting.
So I think I hear a motion that we adjourn until the 18th.
I'll second.
All in favor?
It's 4-0.
4-1.
What is that?
4-1.
4-1. Okay. Well, we had that long. I think we make a mistake in allowing these to come in. We had a de facto policy that I'd like to see enforced that we don't do that. They take a minimum of 30 minutes by the time you usually have Q&A. And things like the urban forestry, I mean, that's the idea for having our informal meeting in the middle of the month that not everybody has to come to.
No. No.